listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I'm Andrew Berkshire. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mary Clark from For the Win. I am, of course, from the Game Over Montreal show on SDPN and other areas where you can find me. You can follow us on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire, at Mary C. Clark. We have a great show for you today. The Panthers have basically done exactly what they looked like they were going to do in the second round, and that was flame out completely against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've also got the Binnington versus Nazem Kadri situation, including incredible amounts of racism directed at Nazem Kadri that we're going to talk about, and a check-in on the rest of the playoffs before we get to our pop culture segment, where we are very clearly going to be talking about the new Thor Love and Thunder trailer, because it was absolutely insane. But before we get to that, Mary, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was super hot here. So, you know, spent a lot of the weekend shut inside in the air conditioning. But thankfully today it is much cooler. I have the windows open. I still have the fans going and all that. But yeah, it was a, you know, bit of a heat wave, like above like the 90s here. So super hot, super hot. But everything is good. I'm looking forward to it. I have a friend's wedding coming up this weekend. Thankfully it will not be as hot. But yeah, got to hang out with my friends. Just, you know, had a relaxing weekend, basically, as best you can in the heat anyway. So,
yeah, we actually had a wedding this weekend. We were up in a little resort town in Quebec. It was fun time, although Miles was not that fun to hang around with this weekend. He was just extremely difficult. But Dylan was the life of the party. He was he had so much fun at the wedding. It was really fun. But yeah, the heat was intense this weekend, and I made the mistake of wearing a suit jacket. So I don't know if you can see this on the camera, Mary, but I just thought I'd show you the situation that was after wearing the suit jacket for a little while.
Oh, God.
So it was an outdoor wedding. It was very intense.
That was like last year. I had my best friend's wedding was last year. Basically, it would have been last weekend last year, right before Memorial Day, and it was hot. It was basically what it was like this past weekend for that wedding last year, so I completely understand. It was, oh boy, weddings outside in the heat are tough. They really are. You want nice weather, but you don't want super hot weather that people just don't want to do anything because it's too hot. But thankfully, like, you know, it ended up cooling down in the evening, so it was fine. But God, I sympathize so much with you, Andrew. That sucks.
Yeah, it was, but at least it was warm. Time. Yeah, it was fun chasing around a two-year-old for a few hours, and then he went to sleep, and that was got funner after that. But yeah, it was a good time. Very, very hot. The reception, at least, was inside, so that was, like, you know, a little bit of air conditioning. And then we had the big storm up here. I don't know if you guys got hit by that.
But, oh, we got hit by a storm, too.
So. Yeah, it seemed to hit Ontario worse than Quebec, so thankfully no major damage here, but lots of people that I know in Ontario just had like their trees ripped out of their front yard, stuff like that. So really intense situation there. But yeah, fun wedding. Second hottest wedding I've ever been to. The hottest was actually my own.
Oh, we got married
in Mexico in July.
Jeez, wow. What why Mexico though? I know we're distracting from the hockey, but this is important, you know, in background information I need to know. Why Mexico?
Because we like going to Mexico and we really love the Mayan Riviera, and we knew that if we went and did a destination wedding that we wouldn't have the 300 people in Kishanda's Italian family joining us.
Tactical wedding.
Yes. I appreciate so it. We could not afford that. So we ended up, I think it was in total 37 people, which is a lot for a destination wedding, but it was really fun. No regrets. We got to stay down there for 2 weeks. We had like a honeymoon essentially right at the same time as our wedding, and a bunch of our friends were there. We would start day drinking at like 7 in the morning. So it was an all-inclusive. It was one of the greatest weeks or couple of weeks of my life. So that was no regrets whatsoever on that. But the day of was extraordinarily hot. It was like, for the Americans, it was like 110.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's maybe hotter than that.
That's a toasty. That is definitely toasty.
Yeah.
All props to you for that. But hey, you had a good time, so that's what matters.
It was. Yeah, it was a great time. All right, so to the hockey. Obviously, we got to start with the Florida Panthers. You know, we talked about it before when we were previewing this series. I thought the Florida Panthers were going to wake up a little bit. I was not impressed with them at all in the first round. The fact that they didn't really take it to the Washington Capitals at any point probably should have been a bigger warning sign. I should have, you know, caught on to that a little bit quicker. But I didn't think the Lightning were very good either. And again, in this series, I don't think the Lightning necessarily played amazing. I think Vasilevsky did. Mm-hmm. But the Florida Panthers, this is one of the biggest chokes that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of questions going into next season about what they think they're doing. And, you know, I feel bad for Claude Giroux because this is the one team that he picked. He picked poorly, let's be honest.
But, I mean, it is the Philadelphia Flyers way, may I just say. It is definitely the Philadelphia Flyers way. Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on Claude Giroux because there's been a subsection of Flyers fans that I've seen that have, you know, been, you know, upset with Giroux for screwing the Flyers over for, you know, basically being like Florida or bust. And then, you know, screwing them out of a, you know, a better trade deal, basically. And the team he went to lost in the second round and they didn't really look at all very good. And, you know, he could have gone to Colorado or whatever, but like, he's not on the team anymore, guys. Like, I don't know. I see the Flyers' problems more with their management style and, like, you know, the people in the front office, you know, what players they want to build around. If the Flyers got a better trade package.
What coaches they want to
hire. Yeah, what coaches they want to hire, because, you know, apparently sources are saying the Flyers are looking into John Tortorella, you know, when Barry Trotz is right there. So I think the Flyers have more problems than, you know, had they gotten more back in the Giroux trade, you know, if he had gone to Colorado, for instance, and, you know, or there were multiple teams competing for him or whatever. I still don't think it would really matter given, you know, the way the organization, you know, views things. I know I'm talking about the Flyers here, but it's been like a thing in Flyers fandom the past couple of days, you know, kind of, I don't know. Giroux isn't on the team anymore. I'm sad for him, but like, and I get if you feel a little bit slighted by the fact that, you know, he pigeonholed the Flyers into making one move and it didn't work out well, but like the Flyers,
that was his right
over
with the contract that they gave him, right?
Yeah, it's his right as a player. Go get that coin, buddy. Go, you know, and get that. Like, I know it didn't work out, but like, you know, he should have the option to go wherever he wanted to, because you're right, that's in his contract. And I don't even remember my second point at this point, but like, I don't know. It bothered me a little bit to see people being like, Giroux screwed us over. Haha. He's out of the playoffs now. I'm like, what you treat your, the captain of this Flyers team like that poorly. Like, I know he's not on the team anymore, but he was the captain. So like, and oh, I do remember what the point I was going to make before we transitioned to the Panthers. The Flyers screwed him throughout much of his career. He didn't have a lot to work with. And that was all on the Flyers management for, you know, not giving him a whole lot of players to work with. And it shows, and he tried to drag the Flyers on his back for years and he just couldn't do it. And, you know, there are other problems with this Panthers team, but like, I don't know. I don't berate Giroux or whatever for, you know, leaving the Flyers and picking the one team he wanted to go to and therefore screwing them out of a better, you know, return or whatever. And sure, in hindsight, he probably would have gone to Colorado. But, you know, given the way Florida looked in the regular season, like, I don't know. Like, I can see where he was coming from here. The Panthers had the best offense in the NHL. And, you know, I think we might dissect a little bit of that and maybe if it was, you know, kind of a little bit fraudulent. But, like, I can see it. I can see why he wanted to go there. Like, the, you know, that type of offense shouldn't dry up in the way that it did in the playoffs. And scoring 3 goals in 4 games against the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions isn't going to cut it, is absolutely just incredibly disappointing. I know Vasilevsky had a huge part in, you know, the way that the series went, but the Panthers just didn't look lethal at all at really any point in the series outside of maybe their 1 or 2 games against the Capitals where they had to come back and eventually won those games or whatever and shifted the tides in that.
But again, they had to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But like they still at least possessed a little bit of that lethality that we saw in the regular season, because that's kind of how they made their bread and butter in the regular season. They, you know, manufactured a lot of comebacks or whatever, just, you know, based on they could score at will, essentially. Like, if their goaltending got them in trouble, they could score out of it. But they did not look like that at all. It was like two different teams, in like one in the regular season and one in the playoffs. And, you know, you could chalk it up to the President's Trophy curse, because, you know, people believe in that type of stuff. And I know hockey is, you know, a big gamble in the playoffs, a big roll of the dice. It's hard to win in this league. I mean, look at the Lightning, who are you know, giving everything they've got and are still in the playoffs, you know. And it's just been a wild story. But like, I don't know, this is so disappointing for the Panthers. It really is. We hype them all up to have the best offense in the NHL, and they score, I don't know, like one power play goal, and how many attempts?
31 opportunities.
It's so disappointing. Like,
the Panthers deserve to be dunked on to endless degrees, because they flat out didn't show up. And we can talk about, you know, getting bad luck and short sample size, whatever. They didn't play very well. Like, it's obvious from watching them. And I wonder if that's a team that just the expectations are set so low that they won the President's Trophy and they were like, we did it. Like, I don't like judging body language and stuff like that, but I looked at some of the post-game interviews from getting swept. And frankly, let's be honest, they got embarrassed. Yeah. 3 goals in 4 games. There's getting swept and there's getting swept. Yeah. And they got destroyed by a Lightning team with no Braden Point.
Yeah.
You know, that struggled at times against the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, mm-hmm. you know, credit to the Maple Leafs, they played well. But again, I don't think the Maple Leafs are some juggernaut team. Obviously, they haven't made it out of the first round.
And they've got flaws. I mean, every team has flaws, really. Like, even the Panthers.
Every team can be exploited.
We thought their biggest flaw coming into these playoffs was their goaltending. And somehow, Sergei Bobrovsky was probably their best player at certain points in this playoffs. At least in the, you know, in the, like, the Tampa series. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's so disappointing. I don't know where you go from here if you're the Panthers. Like, they had such... I don't know. It's such a wasted opportunity. It really is. And it's a shame, because you don't often get offenses like this in the NHL. They were one of the big reasons why scoring was up across the league. And to waste an opportunity like that, I know you had to beat the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, but they were coming off a brutal, grinding 7-game series against a desperate Maple Leafs team. And you're right, they didn't have Braden Point. Nikita Kucherov, at least in the beginning, I feel like he was maybe injured in like the first game of the series, or like wasn't healthy. I'm trying to remember if that happened at the end of the Maple Leafs series. Yeah, okay, thank you. That's what
it was like very early in game 7, which was another reason why I was knocking the Maple Leafs, is they couldn't get one goal while Braden Point was injured. And like, I understand Tampa Bay played a very lock it down style after Point was hurt, but they outscored Florida 13-3.
Yeah.
Like, that's pathetic. Like, I don't care how good Tampa Bay is, every team has taken games off of them in the playoffs, right? They're an incredible team. If they go to the Stanley Cup final this year, they are the best team probably since the Islanders in their Dynasty Cup run, because of what they're doing in the salary cap era with short off seasons due to COVID. Like, they are unbelievably impressive. But teams take games off them. The Montreal Canadiens last year took games off of them.
Yeah.
Or one game, sorry, not games, multiple. But like,
they took a game. That's more than the game. Panthers did.
Yeah, the Panthers deserve to be like just ripped to shreds for this. And the thing is, for that team, they're in a situation where this core might not be around for very long. Yeah, Barkov signed. He's got a great contract, honestly, for what he is, for $10 million starting next year. But the cap is not going up. They have to sign a bunch of players. They've got Huberdeau, who's only signed for one more year. He's going to get a big raise after setting the all-time assist record for left wingers. You know, Ekblad's got a few more years, but Mackenzie Weegar's only got 1 year at 3.25, and then after that he's a UFA. Like, there's just a lot to deal with, and you've still got 4 more years of $10 million Sergei Bobrovsky. And then you look at where things went wrong for Florida, and you know, we've seen people talk about it before, about like, you know, adding too much when you're already a great team. And I feel like there was some people who criticized the Giroux ad because, you know, he didn't really help their power play. I don't think Giroux is what messed them up. I think that he had a tough first game, first couple games of the playoffs, and then really turned it around. Although he couldn't, like, you know, get on the score sheet very often, but nobody on the Panthers could in this series. Yeah. I look at that Ben Chiarot acquisition. What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Like, I talked about it last night after the Panthers went out. Chiarot has this reputation as, of this, like, super tough to play against playoff player because last year the Canadiens went to the final. Over the last 3 years of defensemen who've played 300 or more minutes in the playoffs, he's literally the worst one. Like, yeah. Nobody has been on the ice for a worse differential in terms of combining goals and expected goals against relative to when they're off the ice for their team. Chiarot just absolutely tanks his team. And that was the same thing that happened this year. Last year in the playoffs, in the final, Chiarot was destroyed, taken apart methodically, consistently by the Lightning. Same thing happened in this series. Why are you acquiring that guy and moving him up and taking a guy like Gudas, who brings a lot of the same qualities but has better on-ice results, and moving him down? It's like, that's not the one thing that caused them to lose this series. But when you do things like that, it's a domino effect. And yeah. I'm not impressed with the way that Florida handled these playoffs whatsoever. Obviously, they have a good enough roster that they should run it back next year and try again. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I could see things falling apart for them relatively quickly.
Yeah, and speaking of defensemen, Mackenzie Weegar had a terrible series. It felt like just a terrible playoffs in general. Didn't he have that, like, really awful, he had, like, an awful penalty or whatever? I heard his name a whole lot in places where you shouldn't hear defensemen, you know, being out of position. Oh, it was the goal, the last second goal or whatever, in, what was it, game three? Yeah, game three, when, you know, it could have been a tied game going into overtime, and the Panthers surrender that last goal, and Weegar was, I believe, on the ice and possibly missed that assignment to, you know, pick up Ross Colton right in front. And just, like, I don't know, like I said, I had heard his name too often, you know, on social media or on the broadcast in places where you shouldn't hear defensemen's names. And obviously I'm not trying to single somebody out, but, like, you know, he was a really big strength for this Panthers team. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it was just, like, I don't know what it was in the playoffs, but he just definitely did not look like the player that, you know, Panthers fans, you know, were used to. And I believe this was also the only time this season the Panthers were shut out in a game. Like, in game four was the only time they were shut out ever in the regular season or the playoffs. So, yeah, I know that, like, I think I said it on Twitter that Panthers deserved a kinder fate in that game, but not the series, because they were really taking it to Tampa Bay. It was their best effort in terms of, like, you know, shot totals. Like, they were putting it, they were giving their all. Like, they didn't at least, like, I don't want to say lie down and die, because, like, I don't think they rolled over specifically in game four. Like, I think, you know, by the metrics, they probably should have won that game with the amount of, you know, shots and stuff and attempts that they put on Vasilevsky. But he was incredible in that game. And I think they deserved a better fate in that game. But in the series, they absolutely deserve to lose it just because of the way they played all playoffs. And, you know, one game where, you know, your fate should have been flipped shouldn't absolve you of a really terrible playoff showing. But it's just disappointing. And they probably should run it back as best they can. You know, I think, you know, I don't know what, you know, their head coach was, it Brunette.
Yeah, Andrew Brunette.
Yeah.
Who's a rookie coach. And I think, like, he talked after the game about he learned a lot. Like, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah,
I will say, though, as much as the Panthers dominated shot attempts in that game, they had 63 shot attempts at 5-on-5 in game four. Five high danger scoring chances. Mm. The Lightning had 38 shot attempts and 9 high danger scoring chances. Mm. So Vasilevsky was great, sure, but the Florida Panthers were not penetrating. They were not getting to the dangerous areas and challenging him and forcing him to make great saves. So once again, it's one of those situations where, yeah, Vasilevsky is fantastic, but in those, like, he gets this reputation for just absolutely being unbeatable in these clinching games. But a lot of that has to do with the Lightning as well. Yeah. We got to give them their flowers. Mm-hmm. They are able to play fantastic shutdown hockey. And now that they have a rest, that Braden Point will probably be back in the next series, like, the Lightning have gone from a team that I thought definitely would have been out this round and probably should have been out against the Leafs to, I wouldn't be surprised if they win the Cup again now, because they're starting to get that mojo back. And it's so annoying.
Tampa Bay Magic is something different. Like, I don't hate the Lightning as much as other people. I think a lot of it comes from, I think that their team,
they're the Golden State Warriors, right? Where, like, sure, nobody really hated them before, but then they've won too much and you're like, okay, enough.
They're a smartly constructed team. I think they should be, you know, the gold standard for other teams to try and emulate in this league.
Yes.
Cap shenanigans and all. And people rag on them because of things like the cap shenanigans, and also they win a whole ton. But I'm like, you know, I'd rather have a league full of Tampa Bay Lightnings in terms of, you know, the style of hockey that they have, the players that they have, the cunning and, you know, brilliance to, you know, have, like, you know, do salary cap shenanigans when, you know, 9 out of 10 NHL teams won't do that type of stuff. I'd rather have a league full of Tampa Bay Lightnings than a league full of, I don't know, Philadelphia Flyers, who just, you know, think they're very old school in their hockey mentality. Tampa Bay is, like, at least pushing the league forward. Also, like, I don't know, like, I've always enjoyed, you know, like, Steven Stamkos and stuff like that. Like, I've always been, like, a fan of his, just, you know, from the days that, like, he was, like, being, like, getting injured all the time, and it was, like, really unfortunate stuff, and, like, I don't know. I have a little bit of a soft spot for the Lightning, but a lot of that comes from, I guess, respect, really, because they play hockey in a way that I think other teams should try and emulate. And, you know, maybe if they win a third cup, NHL teams would be like, maybe this seems to be working. Maybe we should try and, you know, replicate this instead of, I don't know, trying to do what the Flyers do and, you know, picking up random old guys and whatever. So I think that's where I stand with the Lightning, but I think they're probably going to be favored in, you know, the Eastern Conference Final against either Carolina or New York. And yeah, their path to a third Stanley Cup in a row is looking pretty clean. But of course, they've got to get there. They still have to win 8 more games. And it's tough, as we all know. It is tough to win in hockey, but the Lightning just have some sort of magic going with them.
They absolutely do. And if you're a better, I mean, being able to bet on the Lightning twice in a row and have odds in your favor, you know, they were not the favorite the first two series. That's incredible. The Tampa Bay Lightning not being the favorite. But we'll wrap it up there. Coming out next, we're going to talk about Jordan Binnington and Nazem Kadri and the whole situation that's gone on there. But first, I got to tell you about Built Bar. I love brownies, but you know what I love more? Brownie batter. Sometimes I eat half the batter just while I'm making the brownies. Imagine if you could lick that brownie spatula and get some protein in. You're in luck, because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. The Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. The puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. Have you tried the Built Puffs yet? I'm not sure what you're waiting for. Puffs are chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right, delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate with 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar. Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick for me. A pickup for me every day. All Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The Brownie Batter Puffs will have you completely forgetting that you're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. Go to Built.com and get your Brownie Batter Puffs right now. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thank you for making the Crosscheck NHL Show your first listen every Tuesday and Friday. Check out the Locked On Now podcast for your next listen. Nightly recaps from every NHL team with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so a little bit more controversy than the just embarrassment that was the Panthers. Nazem Kadri, I think purely accidentally hits Jordan Binnington. It seems to me like it was more the St. Louis Blues defenseman. I believe it was Rosen who caused that collision than Nazem Kadri. Jordan Binnington's out for the series. And after the game, Binnington whips a water bottle at Kadri. And that becomes a big thing as well. And then Kadri is subjected to racist abuse online between the two games, to which he answers with drawing multiple penalties and scoring a hat trick as the Avalanche defeat the St. Louis Blues and put them on the brink of elimination. I'm so impressed with Nazem Kadri in this situation. I think that's like my biggest takeaway. But also, Jordan Binnington, I'm really done with that guy. Like, I know he's a hothead and everything. And, you know, it can be a little bit unfair to look at things that somebody said 10 years ago or 7 years ago. But he has a history of saying things that are, at the very least, tangentially racist about specifically Arab and Muslim people. And if Gabe Landeskog ran Jordan Binnington and he was hurt, I'm not convinced that Binnington throws a water bottle at him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think that that act in and of itself was, I'm a racist, so I'm going to throw a water bottle at Nazem Kadri. But it's one of those situations where, because Nazem Kadri is who he is, it makes it excusable for me to do this thing that is completely over the line in terms of the bounds of professionalism in this sport. Mm-hmm. Like, off-ice behavior like that, to me, should be an automatic suspension.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Binnington is a big loser. He's a child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Blues fans come after me and reshow me. The evidence is there. If the evidence is there that Nazem Kadri has a history of making dirty plays, then, you know, you can turn around and say Jordan Binnington has a history of being a big loser and a child who throws tantrums on the ice. I don't think Kadri's hit here was dirty. It's, you know, he's garnered a reputation, you know, earned or not, because there is the whole racism aspect clouding this whole thing. But he's also clearly made dirty and reckless plays in the past, but this is not one of them. And you're right, I'm very impressed with how he has handled this, you know, situation. You know, he's being the bigger person, which is hard to do in some instances, but he let his play do the talking. He absolutely let his play do the talking in game four. And, you know, I have incredible respect for him. Like, I mean, I always respected him in general because a lot of the stuff that he has gone through, obviously when he makes bad plays on the ice, he puts himself in a situation, but you know, there's a lot of racism involved in, you know, the, you know, if you look at what Tom Wilson does and what Nazem Kadri does, you know, it feels like, you know, Tom Wilson gets off a little bit lighter. I don't know. It's hard because, you know, of all that stuff, but I have incredible respect for Nazem Kadri. 100%. He's an absolute legend, here, and is just done a really good job of navigating this whole thing with the, you know, incredible grace. And just like I said, let his play do the talking. And that's what really shown here in game four, you know, with the hat trick, with, you know, the celebrations and stuff like that. I mean, absolutely good on him. Just awesome stuff. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of Nazem Kadri now. Just what an absolute guy. I hope that we can continue to call out, you know, racism and stuff like that. And I, you know, he's been getting death threats and that absolutely sucks. Do not do that. But I hope we can continue to call out racism here, you know, not just against him, but overall in the NHL and overall in the world. But I keep coming back to the fact that Jordan Binnington is a child, and so are the Blues. I mean, the way that they reacted in game four was just a bunch of children playing hockey on the ice.
Yep. You know, but and it starts from up top, frankly.
Yeah.
When Craig Berube was asked about the racist attacks on Nazem Kadri, he elected to go with no comment. Mm-hmm. Nobody needed Craig Berube to stand up and be like, I will shield Nazem Kadri from racism. They just needed him to say, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the lowest possible bar for anyone in a professional setting. But hey, it turns out that the guy who called a black player a monkey isn't that bothered by Nazem Kadri being called racist things. Mm-hmm. Like, are we really serious about this? Like, the St. Louis Blues, and then, listen, I really like David Perron as a player. Mm-hmm. I've liked him for a very long time. I think he's a very intelligent player. He's one player that I know for a fact is very dedicated to improving their game every single year, every single week. He is an incredibly diligent hockey player, very smart man. But he lost it in game four. He lost the plot, and he very nearly pulled a Dale Hunter on Pierre Turgeon, hit on Kadri after a goal, and it would have been a black mark on his entire career. A career that, by the way, has lasted way longer than most players of his talent level. He's very, very effective. He scored two goals in that game. He was the Blues' best player. And all people are going to talk about is the fact that if Kadri didn't have his head up, David Perron might not play another hockey game in the National Hockey League. That's how bad that hit would have been.
Yeah, it was really bad. I don't remember. Was it the hat trick goal or the second goal?
Second goal.
Okay, the second goal. Thank you. Yeah, if you watch a replay of it, Perron clearly goes at him with the elbow. And it misses Kadri because, you know, he has his head up and stuff like that. But, like, that was a dangerous play. The NHL should step in here with some sort of, you know, fine punishment because it's getting out of hand. It really is. Like, you can't just let them sort it out on the ice. Somebody is going to get hurt, and the Blues are acting incredibly childish here, and they're taking the low road. Like I said, Kadri is, you know, being the bigger person, and it must suck because I can't speak to this as a white person, but a lot of, you know, people who experience racism, I'm sure, have to, you know, grit their teeth and bear it and take the high road and stuff like that when all they want to do is stand up and defend themselves and, you know, maybe punch back a little bit. I hope that the NHL does something here because this is just, it's turned into a complete farce in some respects. And Kadri shouldn't have had to go through the things he has gone through here between, you know, the death threats, the water bottle toss, which the NHL isn't going to do, like, isn't going to punish for, you know, the near elbow to the head, all that stuff. And it's a real shame here that he's being subjected to this. And I hope that he sees the support from NHL fans overall. And I hope that he's getting some sort of support in the upper managements of the NHL, because it's a lonely road he's walking here as one of the only, or one of a handful of players of color in the NHL. And yeah, I just, he's dealing with this with such grace in a way that I admire him a whole ton, but he shouldn't have to do it. Like, he shouldn't have to do it alone. He shouldn't be supported by other players. And it seems as if the Avalanche are rallying around him, which is great, really great to see. But, you know, people in power in the NHL should also do what they can to help him here, because what's going on with the Blues is unacceptable and, you know, absolutely is making a mockery of their organization. And it sucks because, you know, the Blues had a really good story with them winning the Stanley Cup a handful of seasons ago and whatnot. And it just, I don't know, it seems as if they've, you know, thrown it all away to act like children and whatnot. And, you know, it starts at the top with Craig Berube, but, you know, Binnington, we've seen what he's done. We've seen what he's done in the past. We've talked about it before on the show. He just, I don't know, he has temper tantrums on the ice. And, like, I get it, but you are also a 28-year-old. I am 28 years old, and I have more composure than this man. And he plays professional hockey at the highest level in the world.
Making
millions of dollars. That is not a right. Playing in the NHL is not a right. It is a privilege afforded to you by your status as a white person who can play hockey really good. But he acts as if he's God's given gift to this earth for his goaltending, and his, you know, tantrums on the ice show it. As soon as somebody inconveniences him, he goes out of his way to, you know, make a stink about something. And it's just, it's so bad. It's such a bad look. No, I don't think nobody in the hockey community respects Jordan Binnington at all. Unless you are a Blues fan of some delusion, most likely. But, like, no one respects him. All the respect here is towards Nazem Kadri and what he has done. And, you know, his hat trick and, you know, the goals he has scored in these playoffs are probably a big reason why the Colorado Avalanche are going to get through the second round, because they have the Blues on the ropes here and the series is swinging back to Colorado. And I'm incredibly disappointed in this Blues team overall with the way that they've acted, and incredibly proud. I don't know if I can say proud, but
yeah, you can say proud.
Yeah, the way Nazem Kadri has handled all of this, and I hope he knows that there is support here, you know, from NHL fans and stuff, And hopefully management in like upper management somewhere in the NHL is doing their best to, you know, make sure he's not fighting this battle alone, because he shouldn't have to.
Yeah. And Nazem Kadri said after the game, this is, and it is heartbreaking, this is something that's very familiar to anyone who's talked to a person of color, honestly, this quote. Him talking about the racist abuse that he suffered, which, by the way, if you know Mikey Stevens from the Hockey News, he posted some screenshots that Nazem Kadri's wife shared on Instagram.
Yeah, they're bad.
Some of the racist abuse. Oh, it's really bad. Really mm-hmm. awful.
I didn't want to retweet it because it's so bad, but you can find it on Twitter. It's
really Mikey bad. Stevens 81 on Twitter. Yeah, Nazem Kadri says, it's a big deal. I try to act like it's not. Mm. I think that's a very common thing for people of color, especially in the NHL, where talking about it gets you more criticism than the actual people doing it. I know that that's definitely the attitude that, you know, watching the Subans, that family, they've definitely tried to just pretend things weren't happening and go about it and like things roll off their back. But as much as someone can act like that at the like front facing, it can't not affect you at all. And I kind of loved when Kadri said after the game that his performance in that game was for those people.
Yeah.
Shoving it in their faces must feel so freaking good.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. Revenge is a dish best served ice cold, you know.
Yeah, ice cold on a sword. Yeah. Like he ethered them in that game. So amazing reaction from Nazem Kadri. And by the way, incredibly disciplined reaction from Nazem Kadri, who was getting run all game long and did not react outside of scoring goals.
Yeah, and I had said the stuff about him having a reputation. He's talked about how he gets the red mist, basically, of just, you know, that stuff. So
he's
like
not perfect.
No. But he's recognized that and he's growing. I think that's you know what we want from players, is to, you know, recognize their, and also just in general to recognize their actions and grow as people. Somebody like, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen quotes from, the only quotes I've seen about Tom Wilson is when he says, I have to be smarter, and then continues not to be smart. Basically, you know, I've seen quotes where he's like, I have to be smarter with that type of play, and then doesn't do it. But this is a really good example of Kadri growing from, you know, seeing that red mist to in a situation where he probably really should have been seeing it, considering everything that has happened to him. It wasn't just a hockey play. It's personal to him. You know, he steps back and, you know, lets his on-ice performance show. And I really respect him, and I hope he gets the support, you know, from, you know, his teammates and other people in the NHL, because, like I said, you shouldn't have to go through it alone, but just what a performance. Absolutely one of the best things, not the racism part, but, like, this part of the story has been one of the more uplifting parts of this playoffs, and it shouldn't have had to happen, absolutely. So.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap it there, because I feel like we could talk about this for 5 hours, but no one wants to listen to that podcast, or at least not in one sitting. But we're going to talk about the rest of the playoffs, so just a little quick check-in. We'll do a really quick segment next and then go to our pop culture segment. Got to talk about the Battle of Alberta. It's crazy that that's not the main storyline anymore, right?
Yeah.
But before that, we got to tell you about BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all sport wagering information, live betting, to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so the Battle of Alberta has flipped completely. I thought after the first game that we were going to see the Calgary Flames dominate play and Jacob Markstrom return to form. And I was like, oh, man, the Oilers are really in trouble. And turns out Jacob Markstrom was like, nope.
Yeah, Jacob Markstrom was pulling a Mike Smith. And you don't ever want to go full Mike Smith at his worst. And that is what Jacob Markstrom is doing here.
100%. And the Oilers have stepped on the gas pedal. And this is something that I was wondering about with this series. That, like, I still expect the Flames to win because I think overall they are a better team. But the Oilers under Jay Woodcroft, I think people are sleeping on them a little bit, because if you look at their underlying numbers post coaching change. And I know part of it is boosted by Mike Smith going on a crazy run at the end of the year. But even their like expected goals, all that stuff, they were really, really damn good. Like a top, I don't think they were quite top five, but they were easily a top 10 team in the league. Mm-hmm. They have that. And Connor McDavid,
yeah,
who is putting on a friggin' show, Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know we got to talk a tiny bit about Rangers and Hurricanes, but I kind of don't really want to because that series has been boring me to tears.
Yeah.
But, man, Connor McDavid is on pace to, in the next six games, if he maintains this pace, put up the highest point total in a single playoff year since Wayne Gretzky in 1993.
Oh boy.
Like,
that is.
That would take him into the third round only, like the first couple games. Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did you see that the passes he made to Evander Kane for those goals? Like, just.
Yep. Just what a ludicrous.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Connor McDavid is once again doing it all, and he's not being let down by his goaltending. And that was like a big thing, you know, for the Oilers in the past, or the fact that, you know, they just didn't have a lot of support around McDavid in the past. And, you know, now it seems as this team is finally reaching its, you know, final evolution, as it were. Things are all starting to click for them. And, you know, it's disappointing on the Flames side. I hope that, you know, that they're able to, you know, bring it back a little bit. Jacob Markstrom is able to, you know, settle himself a little bit more, because he definitely has not looked like the goalie, you know, that he was in the regular season, or even in that first series against Dallas, where I know, you know, Jake Ottinger, you know, upstaged him, but Markstrom didn't have a terrible series either. He had a really great one. So
yeah, people slept on him that series. I mean, he still had, yeah, I think a 940 save percentage. It's just that Ottinger was like 956.
He was able to, even though Ottinger was, you know, the one that stole the show, he was able to match him in terms of, like, the Flames won the series. The Flames wouldn't have won the series if it wasn't for, you know, Markstrom being able to match what Ottinger was doing so that they could advance out of that round. So, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing for the Flames. But I, you know, it's what, 2-1 Edmonton? So there's still, you know, one more game in Edmonton before the series flips back to Calgary. I want the series to go to the full seven. We talked about this before. So, you know, it would be a good time for, you know, Calgary to tie it up heading back home. I hope that the games continue to be awesome, because so far that they have. I mean, nothing has beaten the first game of the series, but, you know, what could? It's really hard to, unless they have, you know, another big blowout of offense on both sides and no one can stop anything in net. But yeah, this has been a really fun series, and I hope it goes the distance, because we deserve it as hockey fans, and, you know, we deserve to see more games of, you know, Connor McDavid doing his thing, and, you know, the Flames, you know, relentless wave of offense doing their thing. And we really don't have to spend much time on the Rangers and Hurricanes, because they definitely feel like the series with the least amount of drama. You know, the Panthers and Lightning series is over. You know, the Blues and the Avalanche have their whole thing going on right now, their big feud and whatnot. And Oilers Flames is, you know, Battle of Alberta. Hurricanes Rangers is like, yay. It's here.
Next round, please.
Yeah, basically. And no offense to either of those teams. There's just not a lot happening in that series right now.
No, it just hasn't been exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a battle of two teams who make their bread and butter on defense and goaltending. And, yep, you know, I know the Rangers, you know, are not as good in the, you know, defense department as Carolina is, but, you know, they have Igor Shesterkin, who is an incredible goaltender. So, you know, when you have a series built upon the foundations of defense and goaltending, it's probably not going to be as intense as, you know, the Battle of Florida with the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions and an offense that was supposed to be really good, or, you know, the Battle of Alberta, or, you know, manufactured drama as the Blues and Avs currently have. So, yeah, they get the short end of the stick, but what can you do? It is just kind of like a please get to the next round kind of thing, because, you know, we want to see who faces the Lightning in the Eastern Conference Final, and, you know, who could possibly dethrone the King, as it were. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the Hurricanes are the only team that in the East right now that has a chance of doing that. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Igor Shesterkin, but, man, he would have
to match Vasilevsky, who is
he'd have to surpass him greatly.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's
that's. I mean, happen. we saw how he locked down the Panthers series. He's just an unreal goalie, probably, you know, the best we've seen in, I don't know, he's probably the best modern goalie I've seen with playoff success to match. I know you can say stuff like, you know, Carey Price or Henrik Lundqvist, but, you know, Vasilevskiy has the playoff stats to, and, you know, the hardware to back it up. So
yeah, I mean, Price and Lundqvist have had good playoffs, but Vasilevskiy blows.
He's just unreal.
Yeah.
He finds another level. Like when you think he can't, he does. And it's, he's just stone cold in net. Like,
yeah, he is. And I think, like, you can make the argument that Price or Lundqvist on this Lightning team would probably be able to do the same. Sure. But Vasilevskiy's the one who gets to
be on that team.
Yeah,
he's the one doing it.
Yeah, we can't deny his playoff impact. But I think we'll wrap it there because we've gone on pretty long. And in a moment, we'll talk about the Thor Love and Thunder trailer. So it's going to be really exciting. But first, we got to tell you about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to Rock Auto at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is also a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, so they care about you. They're not some nameless, faceless corporation trying to steal money out of your pockets every which way. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything that you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Do You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, so last night, in the middle of playoffs, Marvel decides to drop this incredible Thor Love and Thunder trailer. And my immediate takeaway from this was, this is going to make Ragnarok look tame.
Why did they drop the trailer on a random Monday night? What was there anything happening, or was it just
Like,
yeah, because it was weird. I had heard from my coworkers that they were dropping one on Monday night. I'm like, but why? And they didn't have an answer for me. So I'm just, that's, it's weird that Marvel dropped this in the random, and, you know, on a random Monday in the middle of the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot happening just in general on any given night, but yeah, it was what a trailer. I mean, you got to see what you wanted, I'm sure, with what is his name? Gore the God Butcher, with Christian Bale. That for me is the big standout here in terms of just like what he adds, because I had no idea about anything of the character. I didn't look him up. He did not look the way I thought he was going to look. And it is really sick. I'm so interested for that character just based on, you know, how he looks and sounds and, you know, what he's bringing to the table in that trailer. It's just really great. Like, I'm so stoked for this movie now. And I don't know if it was just his inclusion and me being like, I had no idea this guy existed. I mean, I heard about him, but I didn't look up anything about his character. So,
yeah, I mean, he looks very different than he does in the comics. And I've seen some people be upset about that. But I think the reason is because his comic look is very similar to Ebony Maw in Infinity War, maybe with like a little bit of Voldemort vibes, and they didn't want to invite that. And also, if you're bringing a guy the caliber of Christian Bale in, having his whole face be CG kind of stinks.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like you're right. He's got like no nose like Voldemort does, and he's got It's like
tentacles.
It's like a mind flayer from D&D. Very similar vibes. So.
And he looks like, I love his design in the comics. He looks super cool and menacing, but I'm very interested to see where they go with it for this, because he looks super cool in this trailer. And I think they're going to make him really compelling, because I don't know if you know his story in the comics, and I don't know how much we want to be spoilery here.
I know you just saying he goes around killing gods.
Yes. And for reason.
Okay. I don't think
when you know his story, you're like, yeah, I get it.
A compelling villain. We love a good compelling villain. It's
100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's always, you know, the when writing a villain, you have to make them, in a sense, relatable to the audience for them to, you know, understand things. It seems like storytelling 101, and a lot of people seem to miss that part of villains and whatnot. But yeah, I'm intrigued about this character. I mean, overall, in general, the vibes of just the trailer and the cast together, I mean, between, you know, Thor, Jane Foster, and Valkyrie together, just as like a trio, is
it looks elite.
The vibes are immaculate here. Yeah. Absolutely 100% immaculate. So and excited for it.
Thor being like, knowing to the day when Jane broke it off with him, and her being like, was it 4 years? And he's like, 7 years. That is fantastic. The fact that he's just like the puppy dog who's now even more in love with her. Like, we've gone past the Thor who was insecure about who he was to the point where now he sees Jane, who's also worthy with Mjolnir, and instead of being threatened by that, he's like, oh my god,
I mean,
I love Jane even more now.
To be fair, who wouldn't? Like, true. I get it.
Vibes of Thor or Thor, Jane Foster, and Valkyrie together are very, very strong.
Absolutely excited to see a movie of those. Hopefully there's a lot of scenes with just those two making snarky comments all the time, because the scene at the end of the trailer with them making snarky comments, just like, give me so much of that, please. Just, I'm so here for it.
Like, I've seen a lot of comments on like internet forums being like, this is bi terrorism.
It is. It is. You're right. You're absolutely right. It is an attack on me personally. I mean, a lot of things are attack on me personally, but it is absolutely attack on me personally. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope it really blows Ragnarok out of the water, because that was a really fun movie. And everything that they've shown from the trailer, from, you know, the aesthetics of like the, you know, the world in general, to just the vibe of like the comedy and just the, you know, banter back and forth between the characters, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to absolutely be a 100% different tone than Doctor Strange was, but, you know, which I'm here for. Like, this feels like a good, fun summer movie. I hope there's, like, you know, some really awesome, you know, fight scenes in it, but this feels like a great summer movie. You know, we're coming off of, you know, Doctor Strange and its, you know, horrors and whatnot, and this should just be a fun romp at the theater, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be... I love how much Marvel is leaning into genre. Right, and how they're doing different things, because a criticism has been that like their movies feel very similar, and I feel like that's mostly not been that accurate, but the difference between Doctor Strange and this movie are so apparent.
Literally,
like, watching them back to back would be such a weird situation, so I'm living for that. I love it, and everything in this trailer is just absolutely wild, from the ridiculous 1970s vintage helmet that Thor has on, to everything involving the trio, and, you know, Korg is back in it, seems to be in a big role. Thor training by like holding down the Guardian's ship. It's gonna be so good. I hope this movie is like 5 hours long. Like, they need a five-hour cut.
I know. I would love to see, just give me the directed, like, the director's extended cut now in my eyeballs. I don't even care if like I have to sit in the theater for 5 hours. It must have just also been a blast to film too, I would assume, because it just seems like, you know, we saw the vibes of Thor Ragnarok and that was a blast. And, you know, it seems as if this movie is trying to, you know, continue to bring that along, and just it just is a fun film, and that's, you know, what some Marvel films should be like. Sure, drama and stuff like that, but it feels good to have, because, you know, we had Spider-Man and that was pretty dramatic and, you know, emotional and stuff like that, and, you know, obviously Doctor Strange, you know had, you know, its moments of horror and like introspection and character work, and I'm sure Thor Love and Thunder is going to do character work too, but it should have a more, I don't know, fun vibe while it's doing its character work.
It'll do the same thing that Ragnarok did, right? Where, like, Ragnarok, everyone remembers as this fun, light movie, but also you had this intense development between Thor and Loki and their relationship and their reconciliation. You had the destruction of Asgard, you know? Like, Thor lost a lot in that movie. It set him up to the Infinity War saga where he was, like, broken, right? Mm-hmm. Where his bravado was broken. So there's a lot that Taika Waititi can do, and his movies are always hilarious with a through line of sadness. Mm-hmm. So expect that in this one as well.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. I can't wait for it. Let's just fast forward to July. All right, that's it for us today. Thanks for making the Crosscheck NHL Show your first listen every Tuesday and Friday. Now make your second listen Locked On NHL. From first round matchups to each Stanley Cup kiss, Locked On NHL offers the playoffs or covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.